Good morning and welcome. I'm Barbara Fode. I'm a member of the congregation, and I'm here to welcome you, whatever brings you here today, whether it be custom or a crisis or just curiosity. Please know that you are welcome here, and we hope here that you can find peace with yourself, peace with God as well. We wear these stoles to signify that everyone is welcome here, and you are free to grab one at any time and wear. You don't have to be anybody special to wear them, because we're all special in God's house. And a special welcome, we have several people who are visiting or have come back for a second visit, and please know that you are very welcome here. We are glad to have you. There is a black folder at the end of the pew, and would those of you who are sitting closest to the end, would you just make, is every pew have one? Would you just hold them up so I can see that everybody has one? Okay, we got lots of goodies in here this week. So on this side are different events that are coming up, and feel free to take one of those cards. But on the other side, be sure to take one of the, either the purple slip if you're a regular and the yellow slip if you're a visitor. And if you just pass those down the aisle while I am yammering on here a bit, and let us know that you're here, because we like to send a little thank you note for our visitors, and we also like to just check up on when some of our members aren't here. We want to make sure everybody's doing okay. So those slips you can drop in the offering plate. You'll also see on them there's a place for a prayer request. So if you'd like your prayer request read aloud, please fill that out, and then the ushers will collect them even before the offering. So you know there's lots of exciting things coming up. This is a very special week in the life of the Christian Church, Holy Week. And there are many services at the Methodist churches around the area, some on Thursday, some on Friday, some on Saturday. And please feel free to visit other Methodist churches for services, because we all have different schedules and we all can't make certain ones in times. And Friday, this church will be open from morning till about 3 for quiet prayer and meditation. And then we're starting something new, and I'm kind of excited about this, because I've only once in my life ever been to Easter Eve service. And we're going to have one here Easter Eve. So make sure those things are all listed in the bulletin. If you didn't get one of those, just step to the back and the ushers have them for you. So quickly on hospitality, there are restrooms out this way or in the back and down. And if you need anything, we have ushers in the back that would be glad to help you. Dale Fryer is our song leader today. Our pastor is going to do dual function as liturgist and pastor. And we have a special speaker, and I want to welcome Terry Hershey. I don't think I have ever heard so much laughter in this church as there was yesterday morning in the first half hour of his seminar. So you are in for a treat. And with that, let us continue our worship.
Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you. I'm honored to say that I am the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and welcome. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. I'm going to read some of our introduction, and then we're going to sing the palms, and I'm hoping anyone who is able will wave their palm and even walk around the church in celebration, the sanctuary in celebration, okay? It's a chance to stretch your legs in church. So know that that's coming up, and then we'll continue the introduction. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go to the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody asks anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now, this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. Please rise if you're able, and let's begin our journey of celebration this morning. I told you it was going to be a little different today. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. The crowds answered, and the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee.
The throng to welcome him prepare. Join all and sing his name declare. Let every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna! Praise be the Lord. Bless him who cometh to bring us salvation. Sing and rejoice, O blessed Jerusalem. Of all the sons, sing the emancipation. Through boundless love, the Christ of Bethlehem brings faith and hope to thee forevermore. Join all and sing his name declare. Every voice resound with acclamation. Hosanna, saith him. Bless him who cometh and bring us salvation.
Please be seated. Who says we can't have fun in church? That was fun. This morning, we will continue our Lenten theme from the Amos text, Let Justice Roll Down Like Water. We have our waters rolling down to our baptismal font, reminding us of our call in baptism. Our fish from last week, naming the feelings and beliefs that stifle our generosity to do God's work, have been added to our river. As we sing or speak in unison, please know you are able to participate in whatever feels spirit-filled to you. Lent is a time of reminding ourselves of who we are called to be in this world. Our Lenten series is inspired by Amos, a prophet, whose message is that God calls us to let justice roll down like waters. Amos' text says, I hate, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Those who want to change oppression, oppressive structures have been marching and parading for a long time. The entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem was a vision of a coming day when power is displayed, not with military might, but through the solidarity of all people in the name of love and justice. We pray this day for a time when we are one. We support one another on the road of life, not tear one another down because of our differences. We will affirm our oneness with the whole human family this day, in our common work for justice. Please rise if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Loving, living, and justice-making God. We join your parade this day. May peace flow, let justice roll. Give us courage for the path and the heart for one another. We yearn for your reign and proclaim the day is coming. May peace flow, let justice roll. We have a tradition of greeting one another by shaking hands or saying, peace be with you. And I'll invite you in a moment to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors. But just know, as this part comes to a close, we'll start hearing music, and that's when you can come back to your seats and start to sing. So I invite you to pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
All glory, Lord, and honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children.
Just fine.
Thou David's royal son, who in the Lord's name cometh, the King and Blessed One. All glory, Lord, and honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. The people of the Hebrews, our prayer and praise and anthems before Thee we present. All glory, Lord, and honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. Thou didst accept their praise, accept the we bring, who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King. All glory, Lord, and honor to Thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring.
Wow, that was an awesome song. That really got me going. I'm wondering, are there any children out there that might not have come forward? You're welcome to come forward if you're comfortable, because I'm going to talk to the children for a little bit. So I'm wondering, can you come sit up here so we can I can see all your faces? Oh, great, there's more children coming. So we're going to start up here, and then we're going to go down there. And we're going to start with a prayer. And I don't know where my other two girls went somewhere. Okay. Let's start together with our prayer that we've been saying throughout Lent. And remember, that's when we put our arms and hands together. All right, Eric, will you do it with me? And Jacob, will you do this with me? We'll put our arms together and our hands together. We hold on to power. We hold on to greed. We hold on to things we don't really need. We hold on to hatred. We hold on to fear and close ourselves off till we can't feel you near. Open our hands, Lord. Help us let go. Open our minds so your justice may flow. Open us up so your peace can pour through and make our hearts ready so we can hold you. Amen. So we've been building this church, and here's our toolbox, and there's something new inside, and let me show you what that is. Do you all know what this is? It is a box. And it's an unusual way to hold this kind of a thing. I'm going to take it out of its box. It is tape. It's masking tape. And so masking tape can be used for all kinds of things. But one of the things it can do is draw a line. Have you any of you seen a line drawn with masking tape way, way out? And it can be, you can mark off places. And there's an interesting thing about lines. They can be useful because they can help us know who's on what side of the line. And it also can help us know with a line who comes first and who comes last. But people are really good at making lines. But lines aren't always the most useful thing, especially when it comes to building a church that's made with justice, peace, and love. Jesus was constantly blurring those lines when some tried to make people separate into us and them. Jesus taught us that there's no us and them, there's only us. And when some tried to make the lines to show who's first and last, Jesus said, no, 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 there's no first and there's no last. There's only us. And so lines aren't always good. There's another shape that's better than a line, and I'm hoping you all can come down here with me, and we're going to make that shape together. All right, you ready? Come on down. And what I'd like to do together is I'd like us to hold out our hands. Can we hold out our hands and have open hands? Oh, you know what we're going to do. If you're comfortable, open your hands, and you can put that right in front of you. And let's make a circle. Okay, can we make a circle? And I need to. Circles, thank you. Circles take a little bit more time to draw, and they take a little more time to make things happen, make a shape with bodies, easier than lines. But that's okay, because sometimes the work is hard, but it's worth it. And I would love for us in this way to pray together, because circles and drawing the circle wider and wider so that more people can fit in and fit around is a great way to make a church. So, Lord, bless these hands that they may build circles of justice, circles of peace, and circles of love. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, and you can go sit with your families. And I'm very excited to say that our choir will now sing. I love the maracas. That was awesome. So our middle hymn today is going to be responsive to our scripture. We've been doing this just like the Psalms in our United Methodist hymnal. And so today we'll be singing in response to our scripture, the day is coming. The hands in longing call out your name. The tongues are different, the prayer the same. With humble spirits, can we believe that God is bigger than we conceive? These words from our feature song this week remind us that when people utter the prayer, please, or have mercy, or thank you, these transcend our particularities and connect us together in a larger community. When we recognize our common humanity, we begin to see not others like us as people struggling with the same issues as everyone else, and not as a threat.
The lands are longing, call out your name. The tongues are different, the prayer the same. With humble spirits, can we believe that God is bigger than we conceive? With willing spirits, Lord, let us dare to deal with strangers and join in prayer. Grant in your mercy the hope that heals, the law of love your word reveals. The day is coming, the Lord will move with a hand of justice and the heart of love. The will of heaven on this earth be done. Coming, oh let it come.
Our first scripture reading today is Isaiah 35, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. The desert and the dry land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. They will burst into bloom and rejoice with joy and singing. Strengthen the weak hands and support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Waters will spring up in the desert, and streams in the wilderness. The burning sand will become a pool, and the thirsty ground fountains of water. The jackal's habitat, a pasture. Grass will become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. Even fools won't get lost on it. No lion will be there, and no predator will go up on it. None of these will be there. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overturn them, and grief and groaning will flee away.
A barren wasteland we must reclaim, with hearts forbearing, with others' pain. Grant us the courage to make a place, to plant tomorrow's seeds of peace.
Our second scripture is Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50, and I'm reading from the New International Version. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here
are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Day is coming, the Lord will move with the hand of justice and the heart of love. The will of heaven on this earth be done. The day is coming, oh let it come. The day is coming, oh let it come.
It's my honor and privilege to introduce Terry Hershey. I'm so grateful that I've gotten to speak to him on the phone over the last month or so and been able to listen to his talk yesterday. It was quite inspiring. And so today he is again, and I'm so grateful that he's here to talk to all of us. Justice is hard work, and sometimes we need to recharge our batteries and fill our soul so that we're ready to go out and continue to do justice. So let me tell you about Terry. He's an author, a humorist, an inspirational speaker, dad, ordained minister, golf addict, and smitten by French wine. He divides his time between designing sanctuary gardens and sharing his practice of pausing and sanctuary to help us do less and live more. And Terry's book, The Power of Pause, which you can find in the gathering room later if you're interested, offers the permission to slow down and to be gentle with ourselves in a world that demands more, bigger, faster. Most days, you can find Terry out in his garden on Vashon Island in the Puget Sound, which I'm hoping I said right. Because he believes there is something fundamentally spiritual about dirt under your fingernails. Let's give Terry a warm welcome. Thanks, Terry.
Good morning. That was pretty good, actually. Yes, I will confess, I do have a black eye. You are not seeing things. And I had a fun encounter already passing the peace. First time ever in my history in passing the peace. Usually people say, peace be with you. Peace of Christ, also with you. But today, one person looked at me and said, I hope the other guy looks worse than you. That was the best response I've ever received. I told the group yesterday, I got this from a church board meeting. It sounds better that way. I live in Seattle, Washington. Do you know my neck of the woods? So I'm delighted to be here, replacing rain with snow yesterday. What? Syracuse, you're a funny place. I fly in, it's snow, and it's 70, and you call that spring. Okay, just checking. We had a great time yesterday, and I had to confess that I had this black eye, I fell down, and the thing about it is, whenever we don't have our act together, it messes with us, doesn't it? We don't like to confess we don't have our act together. We don't like to be needy, because when we're needy, then other people are connected to us, and we're connected to them. And so that was part of the process, and so I was glad to be with the group yesterday, which leads us to our sermon this morning and the scripture. A little boy, how many moms in the room? Okay, great. Some of you are going, this wasn't a trick question, by the way. Just some of you are going, I was a mom this morning, but I'm changing my mind. Little boy was having nightmares. Moms know this story, right? And the kind of nightmares where you don't go to dad's side of the bed, do you? Right? Because what does dad say? Exactly. go to your mom or go back to bed. So, Mama, I'm having nightmares. It's okay, honey. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to your room. I want you to kneel down by your bed. I want you to pray to Jesus, and he'll fix it. Okay, Mama, back to his room, knelt down by his bed, prayed to Jesus, got back in bed, and he had more. See, all moms know this story. Nightmares are not a one-time thing, are they? So back and forth to Mom, and the sixth time, Mama, I'm having nightmares. Here's what I want. Mom, I already know the story. I'm going to go back to my room. I'm going to kneel down by my bed. I'm going to pray to Jesus, and he'll fix it. But before I do that, can I just lay in bed with you and have you hold me? Well, she said, sure, honey. Why? He said, because, Mama, sometimes I need Jesus with skin on it. Do you know what we are? We're Jesus with skin on it. Did you know that? Now, I'm going to give you the good news part of the sermon, which is interesting, the good news. Because we call the sermon the good news, but I was raised in a church that we didn't have good news in the sermons. There was bad news and then more bad news. That was really the sermon. But I'm going to tell you the good news part. I'm not here to recruit you to do anything. I'm not. Another story about, this is Sunday morning, and the mom was going to do something special for her two boys, blueberry pancakes. Oh, by the way, have you been to the breakfast here on the second and fourth Sundays? Unbelievable. It was great this morning. Anyway, blueberry pancake Sunday, and the boys, moms know this story too, the boys are fighting to see who's going to get the first blueberry pancake. And we're not talking about shouting at each other. We're talking about fisticuffs rolling around the floor. And finally, the mom, because you're getting ready for church, you're already, and you're trying to do blueberry pancakes. And so finally, boys, sit down. Time for a moral lesson. If Jesus were here right now, he would give the first pancake to his brother. Well, that shut him up. And then after a minute, the older brother turns to the younger brother and says, I have an idea. Today you be Jesus. I'm not here to recruit you to be Jesus in skin. I'm here to give you the news that you are. Did you hear? I'm going to walk down for this part. Did you hear the gospel reading from Matthew? While Jesus was talking to the crowd, somebody said, your mother and your brothers are outside wanting to see. We think the scripture, we hear the scripture and it goes like this. The scripture can be quite funny sometimes. Remember, the mother and brothers are staying outside wanting to speak to you. What did Jesus say? What did he say? Who is my mother? You don't think that's weird? I'm serious. If you don't think that's weird, try it this Thanksgiving. Seriously. Go at the dinner table, go, who is my mother? Because the disciples are going, Lord, have mercy. He doesn't know who his mother is. Or his brothers, Jesus, what is wrong with you? Right? And Jesus turns it on its head, pointing to his disciples. Here we go, biblical lesson time. When we hear the word disciples, we're inculcated to think 12 men. Did you know when the word disciples is used throughout the New Testament, it doesn't really mean the 12 men. What's it mean? Everybody who walked around after Jesus. That means men and women. That means old and young. It doesn't really matter. Everybody. Jesus said this. Now this part will freak you out. And if you want to be freaked out, don't come to church, don't read the Bible. Jesus said, pointing to his disciples, he said, hate to break it to you, but this is my brother. This is my sister. This is my mother. This is my sister. This is my brother. This is my mother. Every one of us are connected on this journey, which means there's a difference to be made there. So where do we go with this? There was a family reunion. Do you like family reunions? Well, this is the kind of family reunion you don't want to go to. And you spend all your energy avoiding that one uncle that nobody ever wants to talk to. But there's this one little kid, he's five. And there's a matriarch of the family. She's like 92 or something. She's sitting over there. She's just like dozing for a minute. And he doesn't know her. And he walks up to her. You know how kids are great. They're just staring at her lined face. And finally she looks at him and he says, "Can I ask you a question?" She said, "Yes." He said, "You're old." She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, if you're so old, how come you're not dead yet?" She said, "Well, son, I've thought about it. There have been times when I've laid down in my bed and I've thought, it's time to go. But every time I've laid down in my bed and thought it's time to go, somebody always asks me for a sandwich. And I get up and make them a sandwich. And after a while, you realize there are a lot of hungry people around. So there are a lot of sandwiches that need to be made. And I guess what with the time I spend making sandwiches, I just haven't had the time to die." Every one of us, if we change that verb, can relate to that story. I lay down and I want to quit. I want to stop. I want to break down. I want to give in. I want to be tired of it all. I want to throw my hands in the air. And then we come to a place like today and we look around and we realize, wait a minute, that's a brother or sister or mother. And we are making sandwiches, and we walk out of here and we say, wait a minute, that's a brother or sister or mother, and we are in the business of making sandwiches. I'm not here to recruit you, and I'm not here to tell you that you have to gain some special skill. You are Jesus in skin, which means there's already within you the capacity to offer hope. It is no small thing to be compassionate. Caroline was 6 years old. Caroline's father had just died. Caroline's father had just been killed. Caroline's father had just been assassinated. There are people listening to me who remember that, do not? Caroline Kennedy was in the back of a big black limousine going down the boulevard of Washington, D.C. I've heard Caroline tell this story. Caroline did not know what to do with her sadness, her brokenness, her feeling aloneness. Sitting next to Caroline in the back of the limousine was her caretaker, Maude. And sitting next to Maude was Caroline's younger brother, whose name was John. Caroline looked out the front of the limousine, and walking in front of the limousine was her mother and her two uncles. And in front of that was a horse-drawn carriage with her father's casket. And Caroline, in her sadness, began to weep. Walking next to Caroline's side of the car, it's interesting, you can Google it and look up the photo. It's worth seeing. Walking next to Caroline's side of the car was the Secret Service agent whose name was Robert Foster. Robert was assigned to Caroline Kennedy that day. The Secret Service agents were friends of the Kennedy children. Caroline trusted Robert Foster. She saw Robert out the window, and not knowing what to do with her sadness, she rolled down her window and stuck her hand out. Robert Foster, as a Secret Service agent, knew that if he reached out and grabbed her hand, he was going to be in the possibility of being punished. Why? Because as a Secret Service agent, he had to have his hands at the ready. But Robert Foster didn't even think twice. Look up the photo, walking down the boulevard of Washington, D.C. that day is a big old Secret Service agent holding the hand of a six-year-old girl. Because a hand needed to be held. Can I tell you the rest of the story? He wasn't fired. In fact, he went on to serve several presidents for several years. Can I tell you the rest of the story? When Robert Foster was asked, "Why did you do that?" he said, "Because a hand needed to be held." Why did you do that? Because a sandwich needed to be made. Why did you do that? Because someone was hungry. Why did you do that? Because someone's in pain. Why did you do that? Because someone's left out. Why did you do that? I was in Columbus, Ohio, preaching at a church. I told the story of Robert Foster. After the sermon, people were shaking my hand and saying, "Terry, that was a great sermon." I said, "Thank you." He said, "Terry, that was a great, thanks for telling the story of Robert." I said, "You're welcome." They said, "No, really, thanks for telling the story of Robert." I said, "You're welcome." They said, "No, really." I said, "I heard you." They said, "No." And then I realized why. Robert used to be a member of their church. He had died 2 years before I preached the sermon. His wife was still a member of the congregation. Are you ready for this part? The congregation didn't know the story. Why? Because Robert didn't do it to become somebody. He didn't do it to be noticed. He didn't do it to score points. He did it because a hand needed to be held. Justice rolls down when we're able to hold the hand that needs to be held because we know that we are Jesus in skin. So today, would you do me a favor? Would you be on the lookout for slow-moving limousines? Because there are hands that need to be held. And would you do me another favor? Since you know that we're Jesus in skin, when you need us to hold your hand, would you roll down your window? We'll be there. Amen.
Thank you, Terry. As we continue remembering we are Jesus in skin, let's start our time of prayer. If you'd like your prayer read as a part of worship, please write it on the yellow or purple slip, and the ushers will come down to receive it.
Let justice roll, roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll, roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll, roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll, roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream. Let justice roll, roll down like water, and righteousness like a flowing stream.
Let us settle our hearts in prayer. In this silence, we open ourselves to pray for all of creation, for the things unnamed, the hurts in which we are unaware, and the deepest yearnings of our hearts. Let us pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer.
Holy and loving God, all through Lent we've been closing our hands, making a fist, and then opening them as a sign of letting go, of giving up the ways in which we hang on to the things that separate us and keep us distanced from our own ability to bring about justice. Prejudice and privilege, resistance to learning and changing, unwillingness to reach out, fear of those who are different from us, or fear of forgiveness for ourselves or for those who have hurt us. As we have opened our hands, perhaps we have begun to open to God and the prophet's command to let the waters of God's Spirit wash over us and regenerate our call to make a better world. Today in our prayer, if you're comfortable, or maybe if you're uncomfortable but willing, I'd like to invite you to reach out and connect with a hand of someone else. As the Lent season moves into Holy Week, we are reminded that moving outside our comfort zones is the ultimate way that Jesus modeled right relationship with our neighbor. Truly connecting in spite of our resistance is the only way to create solidarity in a divided world. We come before you, God of justice, with varying degrees of readiness to walk hand in hand in the march of life. Yet we know that your forgiveness is unending, and we can join the parade at any moment. Open us to know your unconditional love, based not on our readiness, but in your surprising grace. Move us closer to compassion and courage, to speak up and stand up for what is right and good. Amen. Will you pray with me the Lord's Prayer in whatever language feels right for you today? Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It feels good to pray with you today. Thank you for praying with me. During Lent, we have been contributing to the waters of justice each week by writing words on a paper fish that will be added to our ever-flowing stream. As we take our offering today, I invite you to write one on one last paper fish. Write a word that represents a person or a group you want to cultivate a relationship with for the rest of the year. These will become part of our waters and God's promise of transformation. And the children will collect our fish during our closing hymn. If you need more fish, just raise your hand and the ushers will bring you some more fish. As we enter a time of giving, I'd like to remind everyone to place their attendance slips that look like this into the plate so that we know who's here and who still needs to be cared for that might not have made it today. And I'd like our first-time visitors of the church to know that we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest, and we are so grateful you're here. But we do have a very strong tradition of giving at University Church. So, as a symbol of our ministry of this place and beyond, let us bring our tithes, donations, and offerings.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. For the gift of those who walked this path before us, we give thanks. For the gift of those who walked this path alongside us, we give thanks. For the way in which these offerings will become our presence with others, we give thanks. For the gift of this community bound in working together, we give thanks. And let us join together in our closing hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sang. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, and the children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed mid an exultant crowd. The victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven rode on in lowly state. Nor scorn that little children should on his bidding wait. Hosanna in the highest, the ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise him, heart and life and voice, and in his blissful presence eternally rejoice.
Amen. Wow. So, if you would like to remain standing because you're joyful, feel free, or if you'd like to sit, feel free as well. Throughout Lent, we will join together in our benediction. I'll speak first, and then together we'll speak and bless each other, and then we'll sing, May Peace Flow. And then I invite you to sit down and just take in Dennis Trigg's postlude, which is always just so beautiful. And of course, we have a gathering time after worship, which you can get that way or that either door leads you there. There will be books and CDs of Terry Hershey's, and also, I hear, there are snacks this week. So I'm excited about all that. All right. I guess I need the... May the song
in your heart be. So that I may be a vessel of the love of God. For everyone, for everyone.
Peace be with you.